Is to turn tonight to a portion of scripture. We have 15 minutes and I'm going to struggle. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. And we're looking at one of the greatest missionaries that ever set foot on this planet outside of the Lord Jesus. And I want just to read down the opening verses, the first 8 verses, just to give us an introduction. And I love this character, I love this man. I love his attitude, I love his drive, I love his passion. And it says, "Then came Paul to Derbe and Lystra, and behold," verse 1, "a certain disciple was there named Timotheus," or Timothy, "the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." I just want to stop here for a wee moment. Paul here is on his secondary missionary journey. That's where he is. When Paul got converted in Acts chapter 9, he asked a question. And the first prayer that came out of his lips was this: "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And that's a good question for every child of God to ask every morning. Tomorrow morning when you get up, ask the Lord as you set out in a new day, "What wilt thou have me to do today for you?" And Paul was a saved man by grace, saved by the matchless grace of God on the Damascus Road and saved for heaven. But I want to tell you, he was saved to serve. And he also knew what it was to suffer for Christ's sake. And from the day and hour that he got converted, he was on fire for God. And Paul brought the message of the gospel here, there, and yonder across the world. And what an influence he has left on us all. But I want to say this, here he is here on this point, and he's on his second missionary journey. And his desire is, if you were to read the previous chapter, he had been in a discussion with Barnabas. And he says to Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." And I love that about him. He has an interest in the growth of Christians, and to make sure that things are going on well with them and they're growing in grace and in the love of the Lord. Of course, when you read on down the chapter, Barnabas and Paul had a dispute. They both separated. They went their different ways and got on with the work of God. And Paul here now is he's came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple is here named Timotheus. He's the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. And this young man, the Bible says in verse 2, was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. I put it to you this evening, he had a good testimony. He had a walk with God. He was a witness for God in his day and in his generation. And when Paul came across this young man, he took an interest in him, but he watched him and he listened to him and he observed him, and he discovered that this young man was well reported of by the brethren. And when Paul heard of this report, it was Paul's desire in verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. What I want to say is this here, the apostle Paul not only had an interest in the souls of men and women, in seeing them reached for the kingdom, but he had a passion for the saints of God to see them grow in grace and in the love of the Lord. And even those who had fallen and slipped in the way, that he sought to get around them and pick them up and see them grow and go on for God. But I want to say something else. When he's seen in a young man a desire to do a work for God, he sought to encourage that work. I got saved 36 years ago in the city of Armagh. I had never went to church much up until that. I had no desire for the Bible nor the things of the Word of God, nothing. But one night the Lord stopped me in my tracks and saved my soul by His grace and through His blood. And I thank God every day for that wonderful transformation that took place. But there was an old man in my neighborhood. He wouldn't have been an educated man, but he was a godly man. He was one of the old brethren. Hallelujah. And his name was called Bill. And Bill was a down and out drunkard for a good part of his life. He had hands on him like navvy shovels, but he had a heart as big as a mountain. And old Bill used to take us young converts under his wing, and he used to encourage us to go on for God. And you older Brian in here in this church, you pick up these younger men and you encourage them to go on for God. And Paul spotted this young boy and he took an interest in him, and when he heard that he had a good report among the brethren, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and he took and he circumcised him. Verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. I've got to stop there. That's a challenge, isn't it? And increased in number daily. He done some work for God. He was just sold out. He had a heart of compassion, sold out for God. Now, verse 6, now when they had gone throughout Perga and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. We'll end our Bible reading there this evening. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for what our ears have heard tonight. We thank thee for the ministry of song amongst the youth here, for even for the challenge of the pieces they sang. We thank you for these two beautiful verses that these two young people brought to our attention tonight, and how much they have encouraged us down through our Christian life. And we just pray for young Michael here. We thank you, Father, for giving to him that experience of seeing the work of God in the missionary endeavor firsthand. And we just pray that you'll stir his heart up. And Lord, that you would just lead him on with yourself and lead, guide, and direct in whatever fashion or whatever place or whatever you have him to do. Just be with us tonight. Close us in with thyself. For we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Folks, tonight we have read these opening verses of this particular chapter, and we have read about Paul and Timothy, and Silas is in and amongst the crowd here as well, coming up, and his desire is to go and visit these different churches to make sure that everything's all going well and to present to them that which needs to be presented, which he did so. And in doing so, the Bible says, so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. There was a great growth going on amongst the church here in the book of Acts. His burning desire was now that he wanted to go into another part of the country, and that was into Asia. He wanted to go and visit another place called Bithynia. But you and I will discover as you look at his life and as you follow his footsteps, that the Spirit of God forbid him to go into these areas. And you will discover as you follow the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, whenever the Lord said for Paul to go somewhere, he always went. But when the Lord said for him not to go somewhere, he also obeyed the Lord. And we discover here that his desire was to go into Asia, his desire was to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit said no, and therefore he came down to this wee place called Troas, where he bedded down for the evening. And what he was simply doing here was waiting upon the instruction from the Lord. He knew the Lord didn't want him to go, but he was waiting here for the Lord to show him where he wanted him to go. And that's a tremendous lesson to learn in the life of a Christian. Wait upon the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Seek the Lord through his word for his directive will for your life. And know whatever it is or wherever it is that you may be able to say like one called Eliezer of old, I being in the way that the Lord hath led me. That is so important. Because if it is not the Lord that's leading, you are in trouble. It's got to be the leading of the Lord. And Paul here had settled down in Troas along with his company for the night. And as he slept that evening, something wonderful happened in a vision. Because we read about it here in verse 9. And we can see God now making his perfect will known to Paul of exactly what God wants him to do, where God wants him to go, and whom God wants him to meet. Take a look at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. This was the heavenly vision. This was God's directive will for the life of Paul at this specific time in his life. And that is known to us in scriptural terms as the Macedonian call. Now, Paul received this vision in the night. And when the morning came round, we can see the response of Paul, who had just received this vision in the night. For it says in verse 10, and after Paul had seen the vision, immediately we. It goes from the singular to the plural. Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now here was Paul, and he received this vision in the night. And when he woke in the morning, he was absolutely 100% sure that this was God's directive will for his life. And I can see him jumping out of bed that morning with a spring in his step. I can see him saying to the boys, the word of the Lord came unto me saying. I can see a joy in his heart. I can see an excitement in his life, in the service and in the work of God. Listen, do we know anything about it? Is the work of God exciting to you? Are you enjoying it? Can you not wait to get at it? And I can see Paul getting out of his bed that morning. And now the Bible tells me, after Paul had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. No, he was sure of this. He was aware of this truth. That the Lord was calling him to do a great work in the land of Macedonia. And he was called to preach the gospel unto them. And I can see Paul getting up that morning with a joy in his heart, with a spring in his step. And I can hear him saying, let's get breakfast, boys, and let's hit the road. I got to stop here. There's nothing to hold him back. His life's just totally given over for the service of the Lord. And he got up that morning and he mentioned to the boys, and immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia for to preach the gospel unto them. Verse 11. Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Now, you read down those couple of verses there, and you would think it's just like traveling from the Porches to Market Hill. I want to tell you, it took him a week to make the journey. Maybe over it. And he done it in land and foot, on the back of animal, and on sea. But his determination was this: the Lord has called me, and I know he has called me to the land, the region of Macedonia, and he's called me for a purpose that I might preach the message of the gospel unto them. And I want to tell you something. When he was aware of the Lord's calling, when he was aware of the Lord's leading, he couldn't wait to get there. And he made the journey with excitement. And the Bible tells me in verse 13 or verse 12, and he came from Neapolis and from thence to Philippi, which is called, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And it says these words, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Now I want you to recognize something here. He's not going in all guns blazing preaching the gospel. Always been aware that the Lord has called him. He's been aware of what the Lord, where the Lord has called him to. He's aware of what the Lord has called him to do. But listen, he's also aware in this ministry that the Lord has opened up, this door that the Lord has given to him. I want to tell you something. Before he opens his mouth to minister the word of God among the people, he's aware of his own inability of even creating one anxious thought. You see, at the end of the day, he's just a man. A man called of God. But a man needing God's equipment. And therefore, before he spoke to the people about the Lord, listen to what he did. His desire was, I need to speak to the Lord about the people. I want to tell you something. Praying has a priority over preaching. Do you know that? God calls his house the house of prayer. In many's a place, it can be the most neglected place. And I can see Paul and his company, and they've reached their destination. They've been there for certain days. They've viewed out the landscape. They've viewed out the people. They've viewed out who they're working among. And verse 13 says these words, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And I can see Paul and them, and they're heading out to a quiet, secluded area. And they're heading over there by the riverside, just where the water's running by. And I can see these men getting down on their knees in the river's bank. Now they can see them praying. You say to me, what did they pray that day? I'll tell you what I think they prayed. They were there to do a work for God. I don't think they were there to pray for the missionaries around the world. I think they were there primarily to pray for the call that God had given them to. You say to me, what were they praying for? I'm going to give you three things, and I'm going to show you the answer to the three of them. Number one, Lord, would you give this people an ear to hear the preaching of the gospel? Number two, would you enlighten their hearts that they come to an understanding of its truth? Number three, Lord, would you give this people deciding grace to that truth that they've come to a knowledge of? I want to tell you what he's praying for. He's praying for the salvation of their souls. I'm asking you a question tonight. Do you pray for sinners? Have you individuals that's on the road to a lost eternity, and you ever pray for them? I tell you, it's a challenge to my heart, folk. Young folk, give yourselves to prayer and to knowing God's will for your life through His Word. And whatever the Lord says, do it. And God will bless you. And I can see these boys on their knees. They're crying to God. God, would you break through in revival? Would you break through and move in this community? Would you save souls tonight? I want to say this, dear friend, if you're not saved in this meeting, there was people in that room praying for you this evening. And my prayer is that the Lord would give you an ear to listen. And my prayer is that the Lord would open your understanding to a knowledge of the truth. And my prayer is, listen, that you might come and trust Him tonight. Now look, watch what took place. I'm near finished. After Paul had prayed, he began his ministry here. And you'll discover that the first meeting that he held was a women's meeting. And that meeting took place not in a meeting house, but under the canopy of heaven. I'll tell you where it was taking place, down by the riverside. Take a look at verse 13 here. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Now I want to tell you something. The sovereign hand of God is here at work. And God has brought a man from away across the country right to this place where these group of women are. And he's down beside them here, and he's down by the riverside. He has just been praying. He's just been seeking the Lord on behalf of these people. And then he begins his ministry, and his ministry is to these women. Now, why are these women here? Well, verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. They were here to worship God. I want to say tonight they're a religious group. I want you to recognize this is Sabbath. I want you to recognize that this woman whose name is called Lydia is a seller of purple. That was her business. I want you to recognize here where she was originally from. She was from a place called Thyatira, which was a smaller town from where she now abode. And she had moved from the smaller town to the bigger town because it was better business. She had a good business head on her. And I want to tell you something else. This woman was doing very well. But when it came to her Sabbath, she knew what it was to shut up shop and to go out and worship God. But this woman didn't know the Lord Jesus as her own and personal Savior. And maybe you've been coming to this church for years and reading your Bible and saying your prayers, and you look like a Christian, and at times you sound like a Christian, but within your heart there's a big problem. You've never come to Jesus for the cleansing power nor washed in the blood of His Lamb. And this girl's problem was she was trusting in religion in order that she would have acceptance with God and glory. I want to tell you, religion can do nothing for you. Now, they had come down to have their own meeting. They could have left at any point. But when Paul began to preach, they stayed to listen. And that's Paul's first prayer answered. For the Bible says here in verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, listen, heard us. Heard us. She heard the message of the gospel. You say, what did she hear? Well, she heard what the Bible teaches concerning the need of a sinner. She heard that there is none righteous, no, not one. She heard that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. She heard how man became a sinner, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And I want to tell you something. She was hearing the message of the gospel. She was hearing the truth. For do you see, before you can ever become a Christian, you've got to recognize the problem. And the problem within this woman's heart was sin. And she didn't even realize it. But Paul not only stopped there, listen, he went on to warn these group of women. He says, listen, the wages of sin is death. If you die without Christ, if you die without Christ as your own and personal Savior, the Bible teaches me that you'll be lost in hell for all eternity. And I can hear this woman listening to this message. And I want to tell you something. I personally believe it's the first time she's heard it. And as she listens to the message, he comes to the point where he shows not only their need to flee from the wrath which is to come, but listen, he introduces them to the one who has paid the ultimate price for their redemption. And he tells them, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. She had never heard this message before. And she heard the preaching of the gospel. Now, secondly, God opened her heart. God opened the understanding of her heart. I want to tell you something. I cannot create an anxious thought in your heart. But maybe tonight the Lord's speaking to your heart. And you know tonight, just like this woman called Lydia, that you're not saved, that you're not ready for heaven. And if you were to die in your sin, you're going to be lost in hell for all eternity. I want to tell you tonight, friend, it doesn't have to be the case. For there was one who left the splendor of glory. He's the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And he went the whole way to the place called Calvary. And I want to tell you something. He who knew no sin became sin for us in order that we might be reconciled to God. For there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open that all may go in. It's at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. And I want to tell you something. The Lord opened her heart. And this woman came to a knowledge of her need of the Savior. But then she had to respond. And my Bible tells me in verse 14, that's exactly what she did. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. And as she listened to the preaching of the gospel, the Lord opened her heart. She's seen her need. And then she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. I want to tell you exactly what she did. She simply came that day as a sinner to the Lord Jesus. And she was born anew. And she was washed in the blood of the Lamb. And she became a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm asking you a question tonight in Market Hill. Are you saved? Are you ready for heaven? Are you prepared to meet the Lord? How often have you heard this man preach the gospel? And night after night, you've turned your back and walked out that door. I'm going to warn you tonight. There's going to be a night you're going to do it for the last time. And this woman heard the gospel for the first time. And she responded to the truth. Take a look at verse 15. It says, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. I want to tell you, not only did she open her heart, but she opened her home. And this cures Lydia's home. I want to tell you tonight, it became a meeting place for the saints of God who came to know the Lord. You say, how do I know that? Well, take a look at verse 40. After Paul and Silas were let out of prison, it says, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of where? Of Lydia. And what was going on in Lydia's house? Well, I'm going to tell you what was going on. And they entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen who? The brethren. They comforted them and departed. I want to tell you something. There was a real move of God on here. Paul and Silas had been in prison. God had gloriously got them out. And the first place they went to was Lydia's house. You say to me, what were the Brian and the sisters doing in Lydia's house? I'm going to put it to you tonight. I think they were doing the very same thing that they were doing in Mary's house for Peter in Acts chapter 12. I think they were praying for Paul and Silas, and God answered their cry. And Paul came to them, and Silas came to them, and he came to the house of Lydia, this woman who had just been gloriously saved, who had opened her heart and now had opened her home, and her home had become the meeting place for the Church of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something, what a change took place in her life. What about you tonight in the meeting? Are you ready for heaven? There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. And the same Savior that this woman came to know and acknowledge is the same one that you can come and trust tonight. And my Bible tells me, to as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the Son of God. You see, that's your decision. I can't make it for you. Neither can I persuade you to make it. It's between you and the Lord. And what you do with him tonight. Now listen to this. May determine what he will do with you tomorrow. If you receive him, he'll receive you. If you reject him, you'll be lost in hell forever. I beg you tonight in Jesus' name, come and trust him. Thank God for a saint who was obedient to the heavenly calling and brought the message of the gospel to those people. Child of God, give your life for Christ. Say tonight, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated unto thee. May God help you tonight for God's own sake. Brother James.